Okay, Chapter 9, Section 3 deals mainly with the presidency of Teddy Roosevelt, the youngest man ever to be president, 42. Many of you know that JFK was the youngest president ever elected, age 43, but Teddy Roosevelt was not elected president at first. He became president when the president, William McKinley, was assassinated, and his vice president, Teddy Roosevelt, therefore assumed the presidency. Roosevelt had been a war hero, Spanish-American War. We'll talk about that in the next unit, which is what made him attractive, besides some other connections, to be on the ticket with McKinley. And then when McKinley was assassinated, Teddy Roosevelt became president in 1901, if memory serves me correct. His reform efforts, Teddy Roosevelt's on the short list of the greatest presidents ever, and a lot of what he did went into creating what they call the modern presidency. He used his influence to dramatically increase the power of the presidency, the authority of the president, to intervene in areas where a president may have not gotten involved before, and it really increased the prestige and power and made the presidency, in some people's minds, kind of what it is today. Of course, you know we have three branches of government, and they all have checks and balances on one another, but there is little doubt that the presidency is the greatest of the three branches of government, and a lot of that goes back to the days of Teddy Roosevelt. Reform efforts. Well, he was referred to as a trust buster. He would go in, again, the trusts were business forms, organizations that basically attempted to create monopoly power in particular industries. Roosevelt was known as a trust buster, going in and breaking up the ones that he thought were detrimental, and interestingly, oftentimes preserving those that he thought, while they might have monopoly power, was actually beneficial to the country to have a monopoly in that particular field or industry. So he was criticized in some circles for that seeming, inconsistency and how he approached the breaking up of the trusts. The other things that Roosevelt is most known for, besides being the trust buster, involve the protection of the consumer through the Meat Inspection Act and the Pure Food and Drug Act to do all kinds of things to, you know, look out for the food that we eat and the drugs that we take, all going all the way back to the early 1900s. And perhaps even the most famous thing as it relates to TR are his efforts in terms of conservation and setting lands aside for, you know, reserves and national parks and things of that nature. So he was very well known as a conservationist and believed that if we didn't watch what we were doing in terms of consuming up all of our natural resources, that one day we'd find ourselves without those. One of the weaknesses of Roosevelt and his presidency was related to civil rights, and you'll ultimately find out that's one of the weaknesses of the whole progressive movement. Not a lot was changed in terms of advancing civil rights for black Americans in this country, but the two prominent black leaders of the day, W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington, let me just quickly give you the answer to that, and I'll put some things out on the blackboard or on blackboard for you to look at. Washington was a believer in industrial education. He is associated with the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama and believed that black Americans, as a means by which to get out of the condition of sharecropping or to get out of the South, which was obviously, you know, treating them so unfairly, or to improve their station in the South, as industry eventually came there, was for black Americans to learn a trade, you know, some sort of industrial skill, so they would be better equipped to be employed in the industrial age. And Washington was willing to give up on a lot of other things, according to his critics, with regard to civil rights in exchange for economic advancements and economic rights, which he believed should come first. Du Bois was an advocate of civil rights, full equality, voting rights, you name it, immediately, and believed that Washington was very much an accommodationist and very much kind of in the pocket, if you will, of the white industrialists who were using him basically to churn out industrial workers and believed that Washington was not anywhere near concerned enough about the plight of blacks from a civil rights perspective or a political perspective. Du Bois believed in something he referred to as the talented tenth, that the brightest minds in the black community, the so-called talented tenth, could achieve very high levels and, you know, attend some of the greatest universities in the country, and therefore, once they got out, they would be able to get into fields, into certain business opportunities, various areas of the economy or political positions that would not be possible under, you know, Washington's industrial education. And once that talented tenth had reached those positions, they could help lift up the entirety of the black race in the country and help knock down doors that would create better opportunities and ultimately, again, full equality and civil rights. Two very prominent men and individuals that you should be familiar with from this particular time. We've already talked about the muckrakers a little bit in one of the previous questions. The muckrakers were the journalists who exposed the societal ills and problems of the day. There were many very famous ones, but three that kind of come up in your book as being most significant, and I'll give you one more. I actually will just go with those three. Ida Tarbell, who was responsible for exposing the Standard Oil Company and the Trust and Rockefeller's dealings and how he operated and his ruthless tactics. It was a very famous piece of muckraking journalism, and she was very famous for what she did there. Upton Sinclair, who very famously wrote the book called The Jungle, which exposed the conditions in the meat packing industry in Chicago and how foul some of that was, and some of you may have read that before, and talking about the rat parts and excrement and all kinds of things that were going into the food. And then Lincoln Steffens was just kind of the overall, kind of considered the, in many ways, I think maybe the most famous of the muckrakers, and reached into different areas of city problems and corruption in government and things like that. And we previously talked, you even read about a man named Jacob Riis, who was a photojournalist, who took the pictures about the, you know, the poor in the cities and wrote the accompanying book related to those pictures called How the Other Half Lives. So the muckrakers are very, very important in this particular time in exposing the problems and waking people up to what was going on around them.